with the girlfriends.
With Christine, Marie, and Julie.
That's right.
And you know what? We're girlfriends, but we're also...
mother-daughter.
And I'm the mom around here.
Yeah.
And you're Julie, and you're the daughter.
And I heard before our show, kind of a little preview of someone else's show, and I was like, oh, we should mention our website right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Hey, you can go to www.christinemarieandjulie.com. That's so funny. Who says that anymore? www.
Nobody does.
No, I'm dating myself. It's like everybody knows you had to put the three W's in before. It's ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, everyone. Just go there.
And do what? Buy our book on Amazon?
Lovely. The Clutterfly Effect.
They can go to the Clutterfly Effect.
Exactly.
Not just yet. I think it's under construction a little bit. It's being remodeled.
Yes. And we're working with someone right now. And like everything that involves technology.
But like everything, it's a challenge?
For me, in technology.
It's an obstacle?
Everything. And so what we say that growth
does,
occurs.
Yeah,
because
does it
you
matter
deal with
that
the
they're
obstacle?
In India?
Not one bit.
Not at all.
Not one bit. I don't know who they are. I just go to Fiverr, you know, and they, you know, well, those guys, you know, they're talking about. Help me out here. Because I've hired other people and spent thousands, and you're like, well, that didn't, you know, so I don't know.
That was years ago.
So
that's in the old days, though. I mean, you could spend that kind of money in the old days.
Right.
Of technology. I imagine you still can, but in the stuff that in the arena that we're in, it's Fiverr.com.
That's right. Or 99designs.com.
Yes.
And what goes on is that there's just so much technology out there to help people design websites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick a theme. Like, great. Let's fill in the stuff. Like, great.
Right.
We're done. Awesome. That feels great.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. So, girlfriend, tell me a little about yourself. Tell people. Tell the people who you are.
Well, I'm Christine Marie's daughter, Julie. And I'm a former teacher.
Yes.
And, you know, right now we're just...
You're a coach.
Coach. We're a law of attraction coaches. But not just really, mostly just coaching.
Yeah, and I'm a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. Got my master's degree in counseling psychology, and I'm a coach, too. We're authors. We're co-authors.
Exactly.
Of the Amazon number one bestseller for about a day.
We're taking it.
I'll receive that.
Yes.
Cha-ching.
The Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. And how do you declutter your life? All sorts of ways. All sorts of freaking ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, emotional, physical. A physical one's the easiest to tackle in some sense because you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that just by clearing up our house, sometimes we feel much better right away.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that we attract from our emotions. So sometimes we're feeling stuck and we don't know what our next step will be. Clearing up a space is the easiest way to get things moving again in any part of our life. And you set the attention, though, for it. We used to do these things every month or two called... you know, they call them the Clutterfly Effect weekends. Clear your clutter.
Right.
And,
you did.
And for like 6 hours, we'd be together a day.
It.
Every half hour we'd come on, or in every hour
every
we'd do
hour.
A little.
Top of the hour.
We would do a little process and clear some more clutter, people.
Yeah, and go back and clean your closet. And people would come back on at the hour and go, I found something I hadn't.
Yeah.
I just dropped my phone, that I have been missing for, you know, 2 years.
It was so awesome, wasn't it? Those
was
days
great.
Were great. Yeah. I miss those days.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too.
And I don't know what happened. Something happened along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of just stopped doing those things and just started doing other things. I don't know. But it was maybe because we had cleaned up everything in our own house. And we're like, I don't know anymore to clean.
I know.
But we're pretty clutter-free, you know?
But we're talking about the Clutterfly Effect, too, now.
Yes, we are.
Well,
you're starting to write that.
We're just working on it, really.
Yes, and it's exciting.
So fun stuff. And trying to think of what else. I went to the park today.
How was that for you?
And well, you know, it's a Sunday, so that's a different energy. And because usually we go to it's a park, but it's really there's nobody there usually.
Right.
And so we take Elliot with us, and we screw his little corkscrew thing in the ground, he can run around a great big circle. And Dad goes out and gets some sun and hits some, you know, golf balls or whatever. But Elliot's having some behavioral issues. And, you know, we take him to class, we take him to Mestoso's. And every time when he's at the park, and usually, in general, 99% of the time, we don't see anybody. Mm-hmm. So he's a good boy. But on a Sunday, it tends to get, you know, people come that are not, you know, normally there. And so he goes, you know, ape, S-H-I-T, you know.
Right.
Crazy. I guess I should have said S-H blank T.
Right.
Yeah. So this couple gets out, and you can tell they're a Sunday couple. I mean, it's not like us who just go there every, you know, day. And
who has the ability to just go there every day to the park. How lucky are you?
But, you know, they get out, and they've got their backpacks on.
Right.
And, you know, imagine they're totally hydrated. They got their knee pads on. And, I mean, they're just going for this little hike.
We don't live in the mountains. This is just, you know, we have hills,
right,
but not mountains.
Right.
So you're not going to be falling.
Yeah. So, but this is, again, this is the kind of Sunday people.
Right.
You know, they got the clean white socks all the way up, so they don't, you know, they spray themselves, you know. And so Elliot's going crazy, and the guy's walking across the field to the trail, and he just stops. And we're trying to, you know, shut Elliot up. He's just not having it. And it is embarrassing. And he just stops, and he, like, deliberately turns and looks at us, like, just, like, says, it, with his eyes, it's like, you, whatever.
Right.
Why can't you control your stupid-ass dog, you know, or something like that. Oh, it just, like, ruined my day for that.
And
oh,
it's so
man.
Funny, because I can really see Doug do that. Throw someone a look that's supposed to mean a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And I just, it bugs the shit out of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what's the fucking, excuse me in my language.
Whoa.
What's the point of doing that?
Right.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to be in your point of vision for more than a minute.
It's going to take a minute to cross the field to get to the trail with your little backpacks on and
it really does
your helmets and your knee pads.
It drives me crazy, and people have to come. And obviously, you don't want this to happen.
No. And, Julie, it was the same spot that when you were there with us several weeks ago.
Yes.
Do you remember that there was, like, oh, it was Father's Day because it was crowded again.
Yeah.
Again, like, nobody's ever at this place except, like, on Sundays or, like, a holiday. And Elliot is a Wheaton Terrier. He has hair.
Right, not fur.
Not fur. He has hair. He's got, like, luscious little guy hair. Just darling.
Right.
And we saw, as we were, you know, we're all kind of hanging around and we're having Subways or whatever.
Right, because Greg was there with his two kids,
and
I was there, you and Dad were there.
We were all there.
Just enjoying Father's Day. And it was so funny because I about lost it, but I made sure he knew that I was not going to have any of this.
Well, tell what happened first.
Okay, well, so anyway, and I had mentioned to you, I said, who shaved their dog out here and left their dog hair?
Yeah. And it
literally 20 feet from us.
Yeah, and it was a big, like, I'm thinking bigger than a football size.
Yeah, it was a lot of dog hair.
It was a lot of dog hair and a big ball.
You know, and of course, it matches the color of our dog.
And you went, look at this. This exactly matches Elliot.
Someone is going to think this is our dog's hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, you know, and the truth is, and he had...
You predicted it.
I did. Now, me predicting it, does it mean that it came true?
Possibly.
I was the one that brought it into my field, into my environment.
Yeah.
So, literally, we've been there for a couple hours, and someone walks up to me, and he's like walking up
slowly. He walks up to the whole group of us.
And I go, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Trying to be really nice.
Yeah.
And he goes, is that your dog's hair? I go, no. I'm really, at this moment, I know he wants to yell at me. I just let him have it.
He was
25.
Like a,
yeah, 25, 30.
He was like one of those guys where, you know, I'm looking for bear here. I'm hunting, you know.
No, to me, it looks like a guy who had to come because his wife made him come.
Oh.
That over there. Because
to talk to us, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
I really felt if somebody else made him come over.
Oh, I kind of felt that it was more of an aggressive energy.
Oh, did you? Oh, because I was not having
you
any of it.
You had the aggressive energy.
I did. I was aggressive.
Yeah, so he goes,
like,
is that your
dog? hair? I go, no, it's not. And I'm really upset at it. How dare someone leave their dog hair at the park?
Right.
And I go, who does that?
You're just saying that.
What kind of a person does that?
And the guy goes, well, there's children here.
I go, you're darn right there are. My nieces are here.
That's right.
I go, you know, in my back of my mind, I thought, I could have picked this hair up hours ago.
Yeah.
But I just was like, who does this? And I felt like
there were people all around here. Yeah.
Before we got here,
yeah.
Why didn't they pick up the hair?
Right.
And so I just was rebelling. I could have been kinder and nicer,
mm-hmm.
but I should have said, "Hey, dude, you know what? It's not my hair. It's not my dog's hair. My dog's hair is fur.
Yeah,
you know.
But if you want to pick it up, I'll help you.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it myself because I'm protesting that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm certainly not going to do it now that you accuse me.
Right? Can you imagine everybody else at the park? He comes over and you get up and go pick up the hair.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, F you.
Yeah.
And isn't that sweet on a Sunday afternoon, Father's Day?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I'm sure he had to go back to his wife and like, what went on? Well, she said it wasn't her fur. obviously it's her fur. Look at her dog. And I'm like, you know, we had just taken Elliot to the groomers.
I know. But Elliot doesn't have fur.
I know.
He couldn't get that. You could brush him all day long and not get one hair off of him.
But it was kind of funny. And then Greg's like, we got to go. I'm about done with this place now.
Yeah.
Because more people were coming,
yeah.
and a rougher crowd. And,
yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to have to
it's
start.
It's Sunday energy.
Knocking some heads.
Yeah. It's like, we're always there, middle of the week. Literally nobody's around. Except maybe the lawnmower guy, you know?
Right.
And then Sunday comes and people are on their muscle and you got to do this.
What? And everything has to be so perfect. And I feel bad because I understand. I don't want to be around when somebody else's dog's barking either.
No, I don't either. I mean, I felt bad.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. And, you know,
I said to Dad, we have got to train this dog or something. And Dad said, I have two solutions other than training because, you know, we take him to training and he's still doing it. He said, one is we get a water gun, mm-hmm. and we just start squirting him when he's doing that barking. And then he said, well, why, you know, I think also we have a barking collar. What do they call those electrical things? Which seems kind of cruel. And then when I thought about it, if he's squirting in water with the barking collar on, I mean, he could electrocute the little guy.
Could be. I have no idea how that works.
I don't know.
I'm not Einstein. I'm not that smart to know how that works, but it could happen. Because I always heard water and electric don't match, but it's just battery operated.
Yeah, I don't think it goes
but
well.
It's not plugged in. It's
kind of like vinegar and oil.
I know, but it's not plugged in. It's just a little battery, so I don't think it, hopefully it doesn't matter.
I know, but it's like hard to think about. I mean, I can see water for Elliot.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time.
Well, it was kind of funny because today he gets on my list. Sometimes he's on my good Santa list.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times he's on my bad Santa list.
Elliot?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like today he was so loving and had company come over and I gave him a bone. I took him out first to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he'd tinkle because he's so excited. And
to see these people.
To see anybody, right? And so came back in, we played. They left, we played some more. And then a little stinker got up and, like, walked around and found a place to hide and took a big turd out of the crap. I'm like, really? We just were outside an hour ago. And then he ran around someplace else and like, tinkled. I'm like, really?
Elliot.
And he has been so good lately.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I don't think we've had an accident in, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow. And then today.
And I could be wrong on that. Maybe I just haven't.
Too. We just haven't found them.
Yes, exactly.
That's probably it.
We're not communicating that. They are happening, but we're not sharing that they're happening.
Well, you know, when you think about, like, Elliot's, he's on your bad Santa list.
Yeah.
It made me think of this one commercial, this Subaru commercial, where this guy has this doggy, and he's not 20 and a half. But maybe he's 14 and a half.
That's exactly it. 14 and 3/4.
Yeah, and so he gets a big cake, and he has this little doggy bucket list.
Yeah.
You know, the things that he wants to do, like go to the ocean.
Yeah.
See an old, this is for the doggy.
Doggy.
See an old girlfriend.
Get a new shoe, chew on.
Yeah, go to a motel with the swimming pool.
There's no dog.
Take a selfie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh my God. And I don't, it may be, is it Johnny Cash? That sings the background.
Oh, I think it's Willie Nelson. I don't know.
Oh, Willie Nelson?
I could be wrong on both. I think it's Willie Nelson, but I'm not 100% sure.
But it's so, you just want to cry.
Yeah, I know, Mama.
Subaru's got a great, they've got a great...
advertising agency.
Advertising.
They got good Mad Men on there. Good Mad Men.
Yeah, and they're the ones that do the one where this mangled car drives by and the guy goes, "They lived."
Yes.
And then he sees it and thinks, "They lived." You know, it's very poignant as well. So they've got some really good advertising.
Yes. You know, we haven't discussed what I want to talk about today yet.
Okay.
And I just want to throw this out there before you finish talking about our week, because I've had a really profound week this week.
You have.
I kind of have.
Mm-hmm.
And
it didn't clean up your language, though.
I am working on that, and that dollar jar.
It's full,
and I'm going on vacation with that money. It ain't going to anybody else but me. That's just how it is. I want to talk about fraud because
who's Fred?
Fred, fraud.
Fred and Ethel Mertz.
Yes, exactly. I want to talk about fraud, bank fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about how we are open to fraud, and mostly, I want to talk about how come good people do bad things.
Mm.
And this was started this conversation on Planet Money on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a podcast, and I listened to it. And I was just enthralled, and you know, mm-hmm. it just struck me on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share it with you.
Yeah.
So everybody,
definitely.
Hang on, because we still have some more talking to do about
the
week.
We do.
Well, because I also want to do my movie review.
Oh yes, because we did that, The Wedding Ringer, last week.
Yes.
And I guess what, I've seen it twice since then.
Yes, and you loved it.
I still love it.
Yes.
I know what's going to happen, and I still love it. Fletcher.
Do you think it's as funny? Like, are you laughing out loud continuously
the first time? No,
okay.
Norm was laughing out loud this time. I just had a little shitty grin on my face.
Oh, that's good.
SHBLANKTEATING.
You just say sit, not saying any vowels.
No, right.
Well, first off, I went to see it last night, Saturday night, with my guy. We went to the movies to see Mission Impossible 5, I don't know.
Rogue Nation.
And I thought it was great. It was a fun movie. But the theater that we go to, we always get the back seats because mm-hmm. they're back against the wall.
They're more comfortable, leg room, hip room.
And we got there 5 minutes late, too late, literally 1 minute too late, because people right in front of me got the seats. And it makes me so angry because it really destroys my ability to enjoy myself completely.
Mm-hmm.
I still enjoyed myself. It was a great movie. But I ended up going there late because I couldn't get my guy to, like, just get going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to do so many things for his family yesterday.
Yeah.
Because his mom's not doing too well, and I have no problem doing this stuff. So, you know, he has a brother.
They had this great big family, and you're supposed to, like, he goes, "Be here at noon, we're going to go out for lunch or something, or we're getting lunch for everybody." But he doesn't tell you anything. Like,
no,
he has,
like,
other plans.
Oh, by
like,
the way, that what that meant was,
get the lunch.
You're going to go to my mom's house,
yeah.
Take down orders,
yeah.
Go get lunch,
yeah.
Bring my lunch, because I'm helping David,
yeah.
And then go back to my mom's house.
Yeah. So your whole day was like that.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, and it was fine. It's no big deal, except that he kept saying, "We're going to go to the movies tonight." I'm like, well, here's the deal. If we're going to go to the movies, we're going to leave at this time. And I don't understand why you're just dilly-wagging.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
What is the saying?
Yeah, it's dilly-wagging, it's dilly wagging, girlfriend.
No, dally-wagging. No, what is it?
It's dally-wagging.
No, what is it really?
How about dilly-dallying?
Dilly-dallying, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I just said...
Julie, this is the same woman, people. This is my little girl who said, "Oh, my God, guys, I am going to be the canary in the swimming pool this week."
The well, I think I said.
What was it?
The well. I'm like the canary in the well.
And Daddy goes,
or the pool, yeah.
And Daddy goes, I think it's the canary in the mine shaft.
Yeah, I go, well, that makes more sense. That's what I feel like today. I'm the one that tells everybody if something happens to me, run. And
save yourself,
exactly. And so we also, okay. So here's my pet peeve from the summer. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about fraud, and
so
I think it's fraud.
Talk about the movie too. Or?
Yes. Okay. So before we went to the movie, I had to get dinner for Doug's brother and his mom, and this was lunch though. So I go to Culver's. They wanted Culver's. I go to Culver's, and his brother's like, I want ice cream. And I'm like, okay, what kind do you want? M&M ice cream. I'm like, fine. I'll get you M&M ice cream. So I drive into town. It's just 10 minutes away. No big deal. But this really makes me mad, and I think it's just crazy. So I'm in line. I place my order. I go over to the window, and they give you a little number, right, to say you're number 73. So pull up, and we'll bring it out to you. Fine. And then they proceed to hand me the ice cream.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, you've got to be out of your effing mind.
No.
And this
you
happens
know what?
So much.
EQ does that, too. How ridiculous.
Yeah, don't put this back in the freezer
right.
or something. Or don't
right.
make it to me until the food's
right.
done.
You know what? There's actually a DQ commercial where there's this couple, they're sitting, you know,
yes.
inside. And because you like a combo is like a hamburger,
right.
a drink,
right, a drink,
and a small sundae.
Right.
And so they're both sitting there chatting and talking away, eating their hamburger, and the sundae is to the side, like it's
right.
dessert, right? In the real world, guys, that doesn't work.
No.
It's going to be...
Melt.
It's going to be
milk.
Soup.
Yeah, it's going to be milk
yeah.
or soup.
It'll be milk.
Yeah, ice cream soup.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That is a pet peeve, people.
Yeah, so please fix that, somebody. Please fix that. So anyway, I saw Rogue Nation. Is that it, Rogue Nation?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. I love Tom Cruise's career. I love Tom Cruise because he looks just like my brother.
He does, doesn't he?
Not necessarily close up, but there are times he's running or just far away. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, my God, there's my brother jumping on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, there's my brother on a plane. Oh, my God, there's my brother riding a motorcycle.
I remember one time he was in Disney World with the kids and the family.
Yeah.
And I think he was just getting some ice cream or something, and people were going, "Oh my God, Tom Cruise is here! Tom
yeah.
Cruise is here!" Oh my
like
God.
Tom Cruise, and Greg's like, "Yeah, I know, but yeah. he's taller."
Greg is taller.
Yes, Greg's taller, and it was just so funny. And so afterwards, I texted him. I said, "Oh, I just saw your new movie, MI5 or whatever." And he goes, "Can I call you?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh my gosh." Did you like it? I go, I totally dug it. And I go, I dug it because every other scene, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times I'm like, oh, I don't see it, I don't see it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I totally see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Doug is just totally crazy. Like, I don't want to hear about this crap anymore. He doesn't like Tom Cruise. Yeah. I go, yeah, he does. and then he goes, I got to tell you something. And this is what always happens when Tom Cruise movie comes out.
Exactly.
Gregory gets
exactly.
more.
Gets more.
Noticed.
Yeah.
For looking like Tom Cruise.
When the first one, the one when he was working with us,
Jerry Maguire.
Yes. He said, I mean, literally people were calling, you know.
Yeah.
Your delivery driver looks just like Tom
Cruise.
Looks like
Tom Cruise. And so, you
he
know.
He called you.
And he called me. He said, I got to tell you something. I go, what? Because I was driving my truck and I had to meet these other people. And they're like, what are you doing here? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, you look like Tom Cruise. You shouldn't be driving a truck.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here in Joliet?
Yeah, what are you doing here in Joliet?
You're
it's Tom Cruise. Yeah, you're a star.
You don't belong here. You belong in California.
Yeah. So it's just
what are you doing? Aren't you just eating kale and stuff?
And you know, Greg's like, because I know it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that plus $1.50, I still can't buy coffee at Starbucks.
That's right.
He goes, so I get that. He
but
goes,
somebody would buy him coffee.
Somebody might. He goes, but I do find it just a little bit happy. Just makes me happy.
Wouldn't that make you happy?
It would make me totally
yeah.
happy.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because Gregory said one time, this is in between Tom Cruise movies, so
mm-hmm.
it kind of dies down for
right.
him when there's, it not,
does, yeah.
when there's not anything going
yeah.
on. He was in the grocery store with his wife, and somebody comes up to him together and like, hey, hi. He I just got to tell you something. You guys know what you look like. And Greg's like, oh, yeah. And she goes, oh, my gosh, your wife looks just like Trisha Yearwood. He's like, oh, yeah. I don't look like Tom Cruise anymore.
You know, what about me, chopped liver?
Yeah, I don't look like Tom Cruise. Yeah, it's like, Gregory, you probably haven't showered in 4 days. So, no, you didn't look like Tom Cruise at that point. Because, no, you're right. Yeah, I remember those early days when they had just a little, you know, their kids are a little younger. And he's like, it's hard to shower when you got a 2-year-old and a newborn. There's not a lot of other stuff going on. So that was kind of fun. And
yeah.
And then you called me up and you said, mm-hmm. I need to tell you something. I go, what? I just saw the commercial for MI5 or whatever, Rogue Nation.
Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. I just saw the commercial.
Do you like, oh, great. He goes, I go, what's going on? He goes, they're really pushing the fact they got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I go, oh, okay.
I go, they're advertising.
I go, this is amazing, isn't it? Huh. And I go, okay, you know what that means, right?
And then I heard there was just a silence because you went, and it was a little condescending.
No, it was not.
And mother, you know what that means, that 98%
I know, I didn't say it like that.
Rotten Tomato meter.
and he goes,
I think so.
I go, well, it means really good because they've changed it a little bit, and that means that 97% of all the critics said yes, they liked it.
I did not know that.
You thought it meant the opposite.
Yeah. When I was like in the 70s and Playboy, we used to get Playboy magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They used to review movies.
For the articles.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, do you remember Greg used to read it in the bathroom? He was like 2 years old.
But then it'd be called Child as a Child.
Yeah,
the,
now, yeah, now it
now.
Would be, yeah.
Well, actually, now they just do it on a tablet. What are you talking about? Going with their tablet.
All right. But they used to have, review movies, and I think they were kind of like R-rated movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it the Peter Meter.
Oh, geez.
As opposed to like a Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
They would say, like, this guy, you know, like 88% on the Peter Meter. I imagine getting 100% when it was straight up.
Yes.
Like an arrow.
I would imagine.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying. You young kids think you're so cool with your Rotten Tomatoes meter. Oh,
we do.
You never even had the Peter meter.
That's right. I mean, it means something different now. I don't know. Who knows? So that was my week. Do you want to fill in anything else about your week?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
All right, cool.
Is it okay if I do this on the radio?
Mm-mm. Sure, why not?
Mm-mm. I'm just I'm saving my voice, though. That. So tell me about Fred.
Okay.
Fred and Ethel.
Yes. So listening to Planet Money this week, and it might have been an older one. I think they said this is a rebroadcast
mm-hmm.
of one of their favorite episodes
mm.
about why good people do bad things. Now, we're from Dixon, Illinois, which if anybody remembers, our comptroller was Rita Crumwell,
mm-hmm.
and she embezzled over 18 years, something like that.
Over 18 years, I mean...
$56 million.
At least. They're saying it might be even more, but to this date, it's the most anyone has ever embezzled in the U.S.
And we were at the Walmart. At the Walmart.
The Walmart.
When the FBI agents were all there.
Yeah, it was so cool.
It was so cool. We're like, what's going on?
We're like pulling in, and we're like, all of a sudden, we're looking around. We're
and
like,
they must have 20, 30 cars there.
And people were in there.
Yeah.
And they're like, we go, you know, we should stick around. Don't go in the store yet, Julie.
Yeah.
We should stick around
and they
watch
take
what
off.
Happens.
Yes, I would have liked to have seen that. And so they went different directions.
Yeah.
One towards her house, one towards her job,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But here's the thing, and this is what I want to talk about with fraud. I want to talk about the story from Planet Money. And with Rita Crumwell, she had to have help, co-conspirators, if you must say, to pull off this fraud.
Rita did?
She had to have.
Oh.
First off, and I'll talk more about that, because, I mean, we've had auditors look at the books.
Right.
They've had people say, you're kind of missing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay.
So you're saying people had to look the other way.
People had to look the other way.
Yeah.
Now,
nobody else got punished, though, did they?
No, they just had to turn over money.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think our bank did. I think our bank that we bank at had to give some money.
Right. So here's a story about Toby Groves.
Groves.
With a V.
Okay.
He's a well-mannered businessman. Everybody loves him. Very ethical, but very Johnny on the spot, and he owns a mortgage company. He's a mortgage broker.
Mm. Still ethical mortgage broker.
Yes. Exactly.
Sorry, Joe. Yeah. Well-mannered.
Late 1990s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Doing
okay.
Exceptionally well.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. He knows that in 2003, he wants to expand his business. Always a red flag because it always crushes you. Expanding your business is always so hard because it typically takes a lot more money than you're willing to dish out. Mm-hmm. And he had a sideline business.
Which is?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Oh.
Which, so here, I know, I would have liked to have known too. So anyway, but at that, so he started looking at the numbers and realizing that, oh my gosh, my business that was once good is $250,000 in the hole. He's like, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he do? He refinances his home because it takes out a second mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And he commits the first fraud, which is on the application, it says that, you know, how much is your salary? And he should say zero because his business is in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know, $300,000 he makes a year,
$350,000.
Mm-hmm. So completely, I'm sure that's what he wanted to make. In his law of attraction days, it's like, I really want to make $300,000 a year.
And if I
so
say it,
if I say it enough with enough conviction,
right,
people will believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a loan. And he got the $250,000, and it kept him going for just a little bit until he realized, oh, my God, we are doing horribly in my businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like he would know from day to day that this is going down, but, yeah, okay.
As if it's big enough, maybe things...
Right. Right.
Or maybe he's been borrowing his own money. Like,
right.
You know, like, oh, my gosh, my accounts are really low here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know. And so all of a sudden he's realizing, I've got to get some more money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else I'm going to make this business work unless I get more money. And so he'd have to create what they call AIR loans, A-I-R, A-I-R loans, AIR loans.
Okay.
Which is there's no real property. No real person, no real job. So you're going to create, you know, property out of thin air.
I.e. bank fraud.
I.e. bank fraud. And the only way he could do this, though, was his help of employees. So he would bring in employees one at a time and say, be real awesome, saying, we're really struggling here.
Mm-hmm. If you want to keep your job.
And he goes, I need, you know, you don't have to say yes. If you don't, I totally understand. But could you help me with this problem and figure out how we can do this part? And he goes, oh, I can do that, and I'll give it to you by tomorrow. And he said he went to everybody he needed to go to. They were all so willing to help him.
Wow.
They all just said yes right off the bat.
I mean, basically they're saying yes to...
Fraud.
Fraud. Is
yes.
that right?
100%.
Yeah.
No, 100%. They're saying yes to fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And he said also what had to happen... is that they had to go to different title companies to say, yes, we've checked the property, I entitled it.
Oh, my God.
So stuff.
Even the title companies were in cahoots.
Yes. Now, we know about that, don't we, girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Because two
we
decades
do?
Ago,
uh-huh.
On one of your homes that you were building,
mm-hmm. I see where you're going with this.
Your builder was
yes.
in cahoots with the bank.
Right.
And the title company.
He was in bed with all of them.
He was, because he had done several deals
right.
of his own.
Right.
And they weren't going too well, so he had to continually be ahead of the game.
Right.
So he would get money from our title company that was supposed to go for our drywall
mm-hmm.
and pay for subcontractors from a previous house.
Right. And what was interesting is the bank that we got our construction note from was his biggest lender.
Yes.
And so the bank was, you know, wanted
yes.
him to get
keep
his,
going.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah, so they were willing to look the other way or
100%.
Something. Yeah. Oh, I see where you're going with this. Girl.
And then the title company looked the other way because they were supposed to, we paid them
yeah.
to make sure that the receipts
right.
and the work was done and
right.
signed off on.
Right.
And they looked the other way too.
Yeah.
And you ended up having two homes because your son was building the same a different home mm-hmm. with the same guy at the exact same time.
Right.
Exact same time, like next door. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And homes didn't get built right then. Lawsuit, you know, happened.
Right, right.
And I remember the story goes, you go to the title company, and she wants you to sign something that says that you don't consider them liable for
right.
what happened.
Right.
And you're like, I'm not going to sign that.
I may be naive, but...
I may be oops. Kind, but I'm
yeah.
not stupid.
Yeah.
You are liable
yeah.
for this. We hired you to do a job.
Right. Yeah.
And he took the money from our loan account and paid off other people.
Right.
But not for our people.
Right.
And so...
6 years later...
Six years later, you know, he paid your lawyer.
Yeah.
Woo!
6 years later, I paid all the lawyer's fees with
exactly.
that money.
Exactly.
Nobody
nope.
gets rich but the lawyer.
Exactly.
Or even gets even.
I know.
I'm sure he didn't want to tell that story, though.
No, but that's kind of... But you think of Rita Cromwell.
Yeah.
I mean, here she had... We had auditors.
Yes.
That would audit our books.
Yeah.
They'd have... I mean, she had people...
She had to have, yeah.
The bank. I mean, they had auditors... I mean, auditing companies that were sued by our town and paid penalties... the bank that would disperse the state's our town's money
mm-hmm.
had to pay back all the money because they weren't really, you know, mm-hmm. she'd go in with a check that was nothing. Like,
you
she
know,
just
they,
signed it off.
They did a, there's a TV show on CNN called, do you remember, but they actually did an hour.
American Greed.
American Greed, mm-hmm. that's right, and they did an hour.
It was fascinating.
On Rita Cromwell. So if it ever comes on, people...
Yeah, and the people...
Hopper it.
Right. I did Hopper it. It's on our Hopper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah, I'll let you know. But so... and so it's not just like one person does it,
mm-hmm.
commits a big fraud.
No, yeah, I understand. Even like... well, I don't know about that. That remember we were talking about Elie Wiesel?
Yes.
Right,
because Madoff... We know that big
right.
pyramid scheme.
Yeah, he took everything that they had worked for.
Right. And here's the deal. And this is a problem with the government in some sense,
mm-hmm.
because if the government never would have stepped in and said, you're a pyramid scheme and this is all a joke,
mm-hmm.
they would have eventually, I think, only the bottom tier would have lost their money.
Wow.
But what happens is, everything gets frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So this one woman said that
You said frozen.
Everything gets frozen.
Mm-hmm. Frozen.
Okay,
just kidding.
And there was one story about this mom and her son, you know, had cashed. She was retiring, so she cashed all her money from Madoff. And she was so grateful because, like, a month later they go,
no.
Oh, yeah, thank God we got all our money back before then. And then the government says,
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oops.
We have to collect all the money. And then...
You know, Kevin Bacon and his wife lost, I don't know if they lost everything, but they lost quite a bit.
Yes.
Through Madoff as well.
A couple million, I think they said. So, I mean, just crazy. I mean, I remember... Elie
Wiesel.
Yes.
So there you go, your 6 degrees of separation.
Thank
with
you,
Kevin Bacon and Elie Wiesel.
Congratulations, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think never were those two people mentioned in the same sentence.
Exactly.
Now they were, and they are connected. And so what we know is that when these frauds occur, so many little frauds occur along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that I think... they were talking about plant money, like, is it black and white? Is it that they have no character? That's why these frauds are perpetrated.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to academics, and they were trying to explain it. And they said, really, the biggest reason why frauds are taken over or done
mm-hmm.
is because of empathy.
Empathy.
Like with Toby Groves.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to his employees saying, we are struggling here.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the employee goes, oh, all right, I get it.
Wow.
I can do that. I can do that for you. Now, if
I
would have gone,
do that.
Let's screw these people mm-hmm. right now and take all their money. They'd be like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I don't do that stuff. But like, hey, I'm going to pay the money back. I'm going to pay all the loans back. But we're struggling. We need to get some capital into
mm-hmm.
this. You're like, oh, okay, we can do that.
Can I ask you a quick question? Mm-hmm. But the only people they're stealing from is the banks? Is that correct?
Right.
Or real people?
Well, I mean, supposedly the banks are us too, right? Because our deposits go into the bank and then they disperse the money out for mortgages and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the reason why it's a problem, okay? Because remember in 2008 when the mortgage crisis occurred?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, the main reason why is that everybody was fudging on the applications because people were giving out money right and left.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a criteria, but you could start counting everything as income.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, people were getting two or three loans.
Mm-hmm.
Homes weren't being required to have 20% down
mm-hmm.
because the value would go up so fast. What's
oh,
the
wow.
point?
Wow, yeah.
And so every little step along the way, people are doing this, but yet, you know, you're like, oh, I want them to get a loan. You know, it's not, they're not trying to screw everything up,
mm-hmm.
but because of the whole, everybody got loans so easily,
mm-hmm.
something crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is.
Right.
And they made reference to, in California, vehicles had to get the emissions tested. Their vehicles tested for emission
sure.
stuff. Okay,
sure.
good. And they said if you came in a Ferrari and you did not pass, they would fail you. But if you came in a Honda Civic and you failed, they'd probably pass you.
Why?
Because they empathize with them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A normal guy
okay,
trying to make
see.
A living.
Right.
You know, and they might say, hey, okay, I'm going to pass
right.
you, even though you really I shouldn't.
Right.
Get this muffler fixed.
Right.
Do this. And so...
Oh, wow. So you're saying... Empathy, real empathy, causes people to truly look the other way.
And I can accuse myself of that because a decade ago, I had a very small part-time job. It was kind of fun. I would go in with my little handy scanner gun and scan magazines, make
mm-hmm.
sure people, all these grocery stores would have their magazines up.
Mm-hmm.
And once every 6 months, sir, I would do... it'd be like a 4 or 5 hour gig,
mm-hmm.
where I'd have to go into my grocery stores and make sure they had a label for every product, that they didn't have a product that was on the shelf that didn't have a label, or that there was a label that didn't have a product. And if there was, I was supposed to scan the label. And so I liked this guy. I've been going there for a couple of years, and I know that if I one time I did it pretty truthfully, and he got yelled at from up above. So the next time I did it a little bit less. You know, I said more labels where everything was mostly right, you know?
Oh.
I know. What a little creep I was, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I did my job.
Right.
But I didn't do it as thorough as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to me the next day and goes, oh, Julie, I don't know how you did, but... My boss has just said I did a really good job. And I'm like, oh, good.
I still don't get it. But.
Well, like, okay, so let's say you're at Campbell's section in
mm-hmm.
the soups, and they've got 20 different labels of different kinds of soups, but they only have 17 different kinds of soups on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got three different labels
okay.
that aren't there.
Right.
And so... And when I notice that, I'm supposed to scan those labels.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to the company,
mm-hmm.
and they go, oh, manager of the store, you didn't do well this month because
mm-hmm.
you've got labels without products, and we got to have this solved. Now, to me, do I think this is a big effing deal? No, of course not, right?
Right, right.
And when I did it really, 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 really well,
mm-hmm.
he got in trouble. And when I did it not so perfectly well, he got his boss and said, good job, you improved. And that was fraud. And then everything would have been okay, except I went on vacation one time, and then they had to bring somebody else in.
Oops.
And she did a really good job.
Julie, what you're just saying
is exactly what happened.
I mean, that's exactly what happened with the Rita Crumwell thing.
Exactly, because she went on vacation. And somebody found it.
And
they said...
The person that was taking her place went, ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh, what's going on here? Ruh-roh.
About it.
And so, I mean, I totally get this idea about fraud.
Yeah.
And that, honestly, I consider myself a good person and a great person. You know, I'm always going to help somebody out. And I just thought, oh, I don't... And, you know, but here's the thing. Like they say, you know, the emissions people. They don't get the fact that, you know, when they do this all together, are they harming the environment? Are their actions of fraud harming the environment to the point where we can blame them from something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Does that individual mortgage guy who just gave a loan to his neighbor who probably shouldn't have gotten a loan,
mm-hmm.
but we know him. He's a hard worker. Things are going to get better. He can afford this house.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, that, you know, those days were crazy. Like your boyfriend, 3 houses.
Yes, I know.
He got 3 mortgages.
I know.
In those days, that was pretty cray cray. You know, there's a missing piece to this story.
Yes, there is.
And that I know because you told me
yes.
this part. Would you want to share it now?
I do want to share it now because
I think it's very interesting.
This is the part of the story that got me the most.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too, actually.
So 20 years earlier, Toby Groves, he's in his home in Cincinnati, and he notices that his dad's outside in the backyard, bent over, crying hysterically. He runs out there. What's wrong? What's wrong, Dad? And he has a paper in his hand. He shows the paper to his son. And his son's like, and it sees that it's his brother's name
mm-hmm.
as a headline. And underneath it says bank fraud. So his brother was arrested for bank fraud 20 years earlier.
Mm.
And what had happened was, in his mind, his brother was kind of a sleazebag,
mm-hmm.
very greedy,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And at that moment, his dad says, "Promise me right now, you will never ever do this to the family."
Mm-hmm, because it's been so horrible. The name,
our good name's in the paper, and so here he is promising, "Dad, I will never commit bank fraud. I will never do this to the family."
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, how is that possible?
Right.
And then 20 years later, he does the exact thing that he promised his dad he never would.
Yeah.
Now,
is his dad dead or alive?
Yeah, dead. And he said, I was so thankful my dad was dead.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I find that fascinating.
I know.
Because I know.
I do too, Julie.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I know for me, I'm doing something right now that I said I would never do in my lifetime. And that's drive a truck.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering where you're like, what?
Yeah, well, it was a couple
shocking.
Things. Yeah, shocking. But I remember talking to you.
Yeah, I remember, you know, you're teaching and.
Yes. And I was, you know, and I had a student that had the contract had, you know, was over with because I was in special ed and very small community, and I was filling in for maternity leaves here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I've got another business going, and I'm like, Dad says, I really need you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And since your teaching is not...
Well, I think, I don't know if Dad did. I think you kind of, you were generous at heart. You know, you went, oh, Dad, I got to help you. You need, because he was working every night till midnight.
Right. I said, I got to help you here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, and he was, I will say this. He was completely open for my help. And, you know, and years later, I'm still doing it. But I really, at that moment, I was like, I do not. And not because
you say something like, I will never be a truck driver.
Not because I hated it.
No.
But because growing up,
yeah,
it always kept Dad away from you.
Yes.
And
all of us.
And all of us.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I correlated trucking with, you're always away from your family.
Yeah.
Even though that we were times together. So, and it was always a kind of a hard life, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so the fact that I'm still doing it now,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh.
Doing it even more since Dad's heart attack.
Exactly. Now, I have made it a great job for myself. I listen to podcasts, listen to book on tapes. I'm very proficient. You know,
love you.
Yes, I do a good job.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I promise I said I would never do this, you know?
Right, right.
And I think Gregory's shocked too that he does it. He's like, what in the world? How did I get here? This is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. It's all okay. We're okay, but growing up, we just disconnected with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nothing.
But how do you end up, like, how does it happen, you know, psychologically?
With Job, you
where
said,
you say, you know, this, the thing that I don't want to do.
Right.
You know, like I just heard you say Job, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, in the Bible. you know, everybody knows the story of Job where, you know, boils and he loses his children and his wealth and everything.
Right.
And at the very end, you know, and I think the devil and God are sort of watching this all, you know.
Right.
And at the very end, Job goes, the thing that I feared the most came to pass.
Yes.
And when he gets that.
Right.
That is a real reality.
Yes.
The, you know, that it is, it's like a principle. You know, the thing that you do fear. I mean, I can remember, like, when I was growing up, my parents would tell these horror stories about friends of theirs, their daughters or something, that had to get married.
Yeah.
It was like a horror story. I remember one time, I think I probably was 10 or 11, and my parents told me the story that so-and-so's niece or something was shacked up in a motel with a guy, and somehow somebody broke in and took pictures with, you know, like this, oh, the horror.
The horror in a hotel room, nonetheless.
And so it's like, oh, my God, that will never, ever, ever
happen to you.
Happen to me.
Yeah. Hello.
thing that I fear the most has come to pass, God.
Oh, my God.
But look,
damn, Daddy,
I got
looking.
My little girl here.
Yes, exactly. Things all work out. Things
my
all
little
work
truck
out.
Driving girl.
Exactly.
My little canary in the swimming pool.
Exactly. I'm going to be meditating on this concept because it just, when I think about other people who I know, who this has happened to, this will never happen to me, and it happens to them.
Right.
And there are times you say this, and you're like, it's not even in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell you right now that, you know, you can never catch me doing heroin. I know that. There's no way. You know, I'm not going to be doing
heroin. Except between your toes, girlfriend.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I don't like needles. I don't even know where to get heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now, I can bet you $1 million and not
but
do that.
But do you know where you can get a Cronut?
I make a damn good Cronut.
That's right, you do.
I make a grand damn good Cronut.
You know what's kind of, I don't even know if this is appropriate or not. I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but your boyfriend's sister, and I don't even know if would you call this irony, would you call this something, but she had an accident, and she lost her leg, right?
Yes.
Do you want to
years
tell the
ago.
Rest? years ago. And she shouldn't be driving, but
no,
she rents cars.
She shouldn't be driving now.
No.
She years ago, she had a car accident.
Right.
Ended up losing her leg and then was in the hospital for over a year.
Right.
And still suffers from just her leg not feeling right, you know, just chronic stuff. Except that she had lots of different medication, and she was always, I was going to come out and say it, had a problem with pain pills.
Right.
Yeah. Always.
That kind of made her crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when she had her car, because I'm like, yeah, she was probably falling asleep on the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she doesn't have a car anymore, which is great. Everybody's happy about that. But she's able to rent cars.
Mm-hmm. Who knows why?
So she rented a car, and what's the story about it anyway? And anyway, she told everybody that she had fallen.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up in the hospital again. We're like,
well, I just
saw
this kind of irony that she had another car wreck, and she broke her
other
leg.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's funny. It's not funny.
It's ironic.
Ironic that I think it. I don't think irony fits there.
No.
But
you're
I think
right.
It's just
empathy. How does that?
I know. How about that's a really interesting coincidence. How could she break the other one?
Yeah,
you know, she's a character.
Mm-hmm.
But she had chosen to say that she just fell over.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come it happened. And then later she says, "Well, you know,
yeah,
I had
I was
a car.
Driving.
I was driving,
and I wrecked
the rental.
Don't you wonder? Because didn't you wreck a rental one time?
Yes.
Didn't? Yeah, you were in college and. We had our car was being repaired and we had a rental. And
yes.
You had a wreck.
I know.
You wrecked a rental, girlfriend.
I did, but I wasn't on pain meds.
No.
And nothing bad happened.
No, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, everyone, it is time to go.
Already?
Yes, go to our website, ChristyMarieAndJulie.com. you'll be seeing good changes because we've got
people helping us. We've got some changes coming there.
Yeah.
There'll be some changes, baby.
Exactly. Have a great day, everyone.
Yeah, you know what?